Where's that coming from? That was planned. You got the tune, right? From last Sunday. You knew the tune, right? Whistle While You Work. Yeah. So we're using it as a metaphor for a believer, follower of Christ, that whether you're in your home, your workplace, your school, out and about, running errands, whatever it is, you can whistle. Now, you don't have to physically whistle because they're going to think you're weird, right? That's okay, too. If you're whistling and they say, what are you doing? Well, my pastor said I could whistle while I'm at work or wherever I'm at. It's a metaphor for you are in Christ and you can point others to him as you whistle. Right, that's what I'm trying to get at. It's a metaphor for wherever you're at, you can point people to Christ, and so that's what it's all about. This morning we're looking at the passage in John chapter 15. Join me there. There's a pew Bible in front of you. You have your own Bibles. You can open up your own Bibles. It's also upstairs here. It's in the bulletin. It's all over the place. You can't say that we don't have the word printed somewhere, and that it's in front of you. So there it is. John 15. We're going to look at just the first 17 verses. I won't preach on all the verses, but Jesus out is walking with his disciples. He comes upon a vineyard, and he often did that. He used earthly kinds of things and used things that they could see and things that they could touch and feel and pointed out a spiritual lesson for them. And in this particular case, he was looking at the vineyard, the grapes and the vine, And he pointed to himself and what it meant to be a disciple and how we're to abide and remain in Christ. And so here it is. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit that will last. So that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other. Father, thank you that we can love because you first loved us. And we can abide and remain because you first abided in the Father. And now give us life through that vine. May we learn from you, Holy Spirit, and from your word today, in Jesus' name. Amen. If there was a theme for this passage, it might be this. Encouraging one another as branches who abide in the vine. Jesus Christ. Encouraging one another as branches who abide in the vine. Jesus Christ. Branches are pretty amazing things, aren't they, when you think about it? If you just look, if you're looking out your window and you see a tree, I mean, just the amazing gift and creation that just a tree is. And how every year it grows. If you cut that tree off, you see the rings, right? Elias, right? Is that what happens? So you see the rings in the tree? What does that mean? It's for the age, right? Age of the tree, yeah. And did you know that why some of the rings are skinny and some are a little wider? Do you know why? Do you know? Okay. Anybody? Is it the rain? Oh, yeah. It was a good year. If it was a good year weather-wise and there was good rain and nourishment for the tree, there was a wider ring. It grew more. It's amazing when you think about it, how God put that together to teach us, maybe in some way, if there's a good year for us, what's a good year? We're going to have to define that. We're going to have to define good. All things work together for good. What does that mean? For those who are called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. So we first have to define what good is. I think the way to define good is through the eyes of the Father, not necessarily through our eyes. Because if we were to define good, we would say, well, this is what good is. That means I'm not sick, I'm rich, I have lots of money, I have a big house, I have two cars, I have a cat, I have a dog. Well, maybe not that. Maybe not the cat. There's some cat lovers here. I know that. I know. Yeah, okay. Yeah. In our eyes, if we were to define good, it would be different, I think, than the way the Father defines good. All right, so what's he trying to teach the disciples here through this analogy, through this metaphor, through this story? As branches abiding in Christ, we're called not only to remain or abide in him, but also to encourage and love one another in that abiding relationship. That's what it's the kind of the theme this morning is. We're branches. And branches, if they're growing in the vine, the same vine, they're to encourage one another. Hey, you branch over there, keep growing. I notice there's no fruit on you. And the other branch calls back, just wait. So as co-workers in the kingdom, as ones who have said yes to Jesus Christ, we acknowledge Jesus as the true vine and the source of life. Jesus tells us here, I am the vine, you are the branches. We are the branches. It's quite amazing. Our identity and who we truly are comes only from remaining or abiding in Jesus, the vine, the true vine, who gives life, who gives the abundant kind of life. John 10:10 to all of us. So without him, verse 5 tells us we can do what? Nada. Without abiding or remaining in the vine, we can do absolutely nothing. This way, vertically. Okay? So fruitfulness, he talks about fruitfulness here. Interesting. Now, I did a little bit of a research. It could be a little bit of a stretch, but I don't think so. Genesis 1, it talks about that God created everything good. Everything was good, even us, all right, in the garden. Sin entered the world, Genesis 3, right? When sin entered the world, everything was chaos, right? Okay, separated from God forever. But he sent a Savior right away. He sent the seed of the woman right away to save us, to rescue us. Okay, here's his command in Genesis 1. He says, be fruitful and multiply, right? Be fruitful and multiply. Now, we take that to mean populate the earth, right? Go throughout the earth, populate the earth, make sure there's lots of people that come to know me and then eventually come to know Christ as their Savior. Be fruitful and multiply. That's what it means, generally speaking, specifically. But I don't think it's a stretch to say be fruitful could mean what Jesus is just trying to get at here when he's got his disciples. He's in the vineyard and he's saying, okay, guys, come and look at this. Here's a vine. See it growing out of the ground. It's sort of like this. I'm the vine. And you are the branches. They're going, what? Yeah, it's like that. And from Genesis 1, be fruitful means that God is the one that grows the fruit. It's the text told us that the Father is the vine dresser. He's the one that produces the growth through the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Holy Spirit. He's the one that produces the growth. We think that sometimes as much as we can go, oh, if only I had more fruit. Like, almost like I'm going to pull up my bootstraps and just say, okay, today I'm gonna grow more fruit so others can be changed and lives can be transformed. No, you can't grow fruit. It's the only way you can grow fruit is by abiding in the vine. And if you look at your own lives this morning, if you're looking at your own lives and say, well, something's wrong. I don't have any fruit on me. I'm a branch, I know that, but I don't have any fruit. Where's the fruit? Wait. You ever been downtown, you push the button for walk or don't walk? Push the button, what does it say? Wait. You done that? Right? Yeah, and the more you push it, the faster the light changes. Wrong! Just so you know, I don't know if you're doing that, but I see it all the time. I see people going, it's not going to go any faster. Right? Wait, right? It's the same with fruit. If you're not experiencing fruit in your own lives, wait. If you're abiding, you're remaining in the vine, he's the one that gives life. The sap comes through the vine to the branch, and once it comes through the branch, it's got to bear fruit. He's the one that produces the fruit, not you. Fruit of the Spirit, right? Only if I could love more, if I could have more peace. I want more joy. Only if I could be better, if I could be good, faithful. Oh, I need more self-control. Abide in the vine! Do you want those fruit? They're his fruit. Brody used to call it Jesus fruit. I love that. Abide in the vine. Remain in the vine. He'll produce the fruit. So what's the fruit all about? Why would you want to produce fruit? Maybe you're saying, well, why do I want fruit? I could just abide and remain, live my life the way I want it. Why do I need fruit? For them. Do you have a family member that doesn't know Jesus? Do you have a neighbor? Oh, those neighbors, sometimes they're tough. Do you have a neighbor that doesn't know Christ? What about a coworker? Oh, I don't like my coworkers. Well, whether you like them or not, some of them don't know Jesus. What about somebody at school? Maybe you have a classmate that doesn't know Christ. Boy, if they see the fruit, they see that fruit, there's a better chance for them to know Christ. How do you get that fruit? Remain. Abide. Rest in Him. I was down at the Celebrate Jesus event. It was a great event. Beautiful weather, Saturday morning. We walked 9 blocks to Town Square, and then we worshiped together there. Had a praise team there, and there were some dancers and a couple of speakers, I was one of the speakers, but it was more of a time to pray for our community, time to pray for our world, our state, our those that don't know Christ. During one of the times I was up there, I told an illustration, and I mixed two illustrations, and I feel bad about it. Let me straighten out the illustration for y'all. Maybe they're watching. It was about Dwight Moody. Dwight Moody founded the Moody Church in Chicago. Okay? One Sunday, he got up to preach the message that day, and he preached the gospel, clear gospel presentation. And I believe it was let me get the details correct here. I wrote it out here, or I typed it out, or I copied it off, cut and paste. Let me just read it here, then I won't get anything wrong. Dwight L. Moody, by his own admission, made a mistake. On the 8th of October, 1871, a mistake he determined never to repeat. He had been preaching in the city of Chicago. That particular night drew his largest crowd or largest audience yet. His message was, "What will you do then with Jesus who is called the Christ?" By the end of this service, he was tired. He concluded his message with a presentation of the gospel and a concluding statement. "Now I give you a week to think that over. And when we come together again, you will have opportunity to respond." A soloist began to sing, but before the final note, the music was drowned out by clanging bells and wailing sirens screaming through the streets. The great Chicago fire was blazing. In the ashen aftermath, hundreds were dead, and over 100,000 were homeless. Without a doubt, some who heard Moody's message had died in the fire. He reflected remorsefully that he would have given his right arm before he would ever give an audience another week to think over the message of the gospel. I feel the same. I told the folks there on Saturday, and this is right from the Bible, from Scripture. Paul says, "Today is the day of salvation." Today is the day of salvation. Make sure that you have that right in your heart and life. "Remain in me, and I will remain in you. Abide in the vine, and I will abide in you." And God prunes us. What does that mean? Sometimes pruning is hard. Let's talk about that a little bit. Pruning can be correction. Trials, or maybe there's something in our character that God wants to mold or shape or refine. Really, pruning is a sign of care, and it's a sign of love, and it's not a sign of rejection. No. Hebrews 12 says that the "My child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline. And don't give up when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves. And he punishes each one he accepts as his child." Verse 3 says this, "You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you." Our text, what does that mean? You're already clean. That means you are in Christ. He's talking to his disciples, right? "Hey, guys, you know me by faith. You've trusted in me. You may not know what I'm trying to accomplish through my earthly life. You may not understand every little detail of that I'm going to die and rise again. You may not understand that, but understand this. I love you, and I will die for you one day." You're clean. Your feet are dirty. Oh, in the future, I'm going to clean those two to again give you another metaphor, an example of what I've done for you. Peter had the same problem then, John 3:13. Well, clean all of me, Lord. If you're going to clean my feet, clean the whole thing. He says, you're already clean. You know me. You've been touched and changed and transformed. Your heart's new. It's not no longer a heart of flesh, or a heart of stone. It's a heart of flesh because I've changed you. You're a new creation. So part of abiding and remaining is staying in the Word, reading the Word. Growth happens through truth. Remember who's making the growth happen? It's the Father through the Son in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me share one more illustration with you this past week. This is kind of silly, but I'm going to try to make a point, spiritual point, if I can. I recently planted some perennials by our courtyard. Remember our new courtyard out here? Take advantage of that too, by the way. Come out there and hang out in the sunshine. There's an umbrella if there's too much sun. And just hang out there and have a good time out there. Okay, I planted 5 perennials on the south side of the courtyard. Little ones, they're like this. Well, this past week, I'm looking out my window and I see a few kids out there, some young kids, little ones. And I'm really concerned about my perennials. These kids are going back and forth and running through the courtyard, and I see them trampling on my perennials. They're stepping on them. They're breaking the branches, and I'm a little concerned. In fact, I went out and I started putting little fences around them to protect them because I wanted my perennials to live. They're perennials. They need a chance to live too. It's silly, I know. What happens to the perennial when a branch on it breaks, when it's stepped on like that? Unless you stick it in water and grow some roots and that, it's a deader. It's dead. It's gone. And I think, what an illustration for what exactly Jesus has done and is doing for you as a branch. Because remember, you're a branch. He's the vine. And you know what? The evil one's going to come along and step on you. And the Lord himself is going to take his pruning shears and he's going to go at some of the things that need help, need shaping, need pruning. Why? To discipline you, yeah, sometimes. But he prunes because he loves you. And he sees something in you that maybe needs a little tweaking. Why? Fruit. Fruit. Now, it may be your character needs some tweaking and reshaping and things like that, but it's ultimately because he wants to grow the fruit. He wants to make you more fruitful so that others might come to know him as well. It's all for his glory, for his sake. The following is from, and I'll close with this, the following is from whatchristianswantoknow.com. What a great website. Come on. Whatchristianswantoknow.com says this: if we're abiding in Christ, he's abiding in us or living within us. Unless he abides in us, it's impossible to bear fruit, because a branch, us, that is not abiding in the vine, Jesus, cannot possibly produce any fruit at all. Jesus is called the Word of God, John 1, And if we are abiding in His Word, the Bible, we are abiding in Him, and He's abiding in us. If we get into the Bible will get into us. If we go through the Bible will go through us. If we are in the Word will be in us. If we read the Bible will read us. Father, help us as Your branches to abide. Help us to remain. Oh God, forgive us when we want to bear fruit on our own and produce that fruit. God, would You produce the fruit for us on the branch, on us, on our lives, so that others might come to know Christ. That's our heart, Father. Would You do that for us? We pray in Jesus' name.